Have your Bibles tonight. Thank you, Melody. If you have your Bibles tonight, Philippians chapter number 2. Last week, I want to take just a minute. You'll remember that Paul is writing to the Philippian church. This church was a strong church. He's not writing about a lot of problems necessarily, like in Corinth, but he's trying to help them to be more like Christ. So he gives one of the most mature themes in a Christian's life in chapter 2, the mind of Christ. Notice, if you would, in verses 1 through 4, the mind is expressed. He says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, you'll notice he says, fulfill you my joy to be like-minded. Okay, so this like-minded is expressed in the local church. What does that mean? Notice, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind, that a church, a local church, should be together. They should think alike because we're all trying to please the Lord. So that doesn't mean we all have the same desires and goals necessarily as far as financial or careers or things like that, except that, Lord, I want to please you. So there could be people in this room that work for the CIA or that work for the FBI because the Lord put a burden in your heart, and maybe you can be a light in a particular dark part of our government that no one else can be in. Maybe you're here and you're a teacher and you want to make a difference in a school and the Holy Spirit is working in your heart. Maybe you're in business and the Lord Jesus is working to use you in the company that you're in. Well, notice he says, yet in the church, let's all have the same goal. I want to please Christ. And that ought to be the goal of every teenager, every adult. And so you notice he says, it makes us being of one accord. Well, there's harmony in our church because we all know to please the Lord, you have to be honest. You have to be people that are truthful. You have to be people that are hardworking, that are diligent. And that's one of the things we want our school, our young people to know in the school, do your best. Always do your best. Whatever you do, do your best. Now, that's what honors Christ. Well, notice, if you would, in verse number 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Now, this is the mind of Christ. Others first. Notice what he says, verse 3, the last part. Let each esteem other better than themselves. So he said, look, let's work out. I want to express the love of Christ. I want to express the mind of Christ in our local church. Well, then you'll notice he says, well, let me give you an example of what it means. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So then he takes it to the highest level it can be in an example. I've tried to express to you what I mean, but now let me give you an example of it. Jesus Christ didn't want to die in his humanity, but who would? And so he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, the mind of Christ is always the will of the Father. It's always the will of God first. So we learn to put ourselves last. And when that plays out in the home, it's a husband treats his wife in first place. And the wife puts her husband in first place. And the children put each other in first place. In other words, it takes away all this competitiveness and all of this selfishness, because that's not the mind of Christ. So you'll notice he says in verse number seven, but made himself of no reputation. Literally in this text, it's emptied himself. He chose to set aside the fact that he was God and be the least of all men. That is the mind of Christ. Others first. I live for others. Notice, if you would, verse number 9, you'll see it was expressed in verse 1 through 4 and 5, and you'll see 5 through 8, it was exemplified. It's an example, but in verses 9 through 11, he is exalted. And remember, the Bible says in Psalm 75, you put yourself down, you humble yourself, you cause yourself to not value yourself more than everybody else. Get rid of pride. By the way, in Sunday school this morning, I was teaching the folks on 7 things that God hates. Can anybody tell me the first thing that's on that list? The first thing that God hates. Now, you weren't in my Sunday school class, Philip, but can you tell me what it is? A proud look. God hates that. And that's the opposite of this mind of Christ. I'm not most important. You are. How can I be a blessing to you? How can I be a blessing to others? Lord, how can I put you first, far before me? So you'll notice, because we humble ourselves, if we do, God lifts us up. The humble, hardworking employee is going to get promoted. The humble, hardworking wife is going to be dearly loved. The humble, hardworking husband puts his wife first is going to be treasured by his wife. Young people, learn to put other people more than yourself. Notice, if you would, the reason being is because Christ will exalt you. If he lifts you up, then it feels very uncomfortable to be lifted up. Versus somebody else lifts you up, you say, yeah, I deserve that. That you say some more because I deserve more compliments. That's the attitude of the proud look, the proud heart. Now, notice if you would in verse number 12, wherefore, because of the mind of Christ. Now, this verse is sort of taken out of context, but I want you to see it's very clear. Wherefore, my beloved, who's he speaking to? Other Christians in the church of Philippi. Well, notice, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence, but now also more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Some people say, see, you got to work at it. You got to work out your salvation. These were brethren. They were already born again. He says, work out what God has placed in your heart, the freedom of sin, the joy of salvation. Work it out. Notice what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So in other words, I want people to see the salvation of God in me with a very humble and respectful heart. So notice what he says, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you. So the Lord wants to work in everybody in this room, but he only works in a humble heart. God's not going to work in a proud heart. He's not going to help you be all you can be with a proud spirit. He's going to step back and let you have your own way. And we're going to fall on our face. Oh, we might make millions of dollars, but in the end, you turn around, look back, and say, what have I done with my life? I didn't help anybody get to heaven. I didn't help anybody be more like Christ. My example of pressing to make millions is not the example I want my son. I want him to be a young man of character. You know, there is a famous coach in the NFL who's won multiple Super Bowls, but his son just got out of prison. I think he would trade them all to have a son that didn't have to go through all that. You see, fame and wealth doesn't make godly children. It doesn't make sweet homes. God working in you does that. Notice, if you would, he says this. Now, I like this. Now, watch this. I'm going to give you a couple thoughts here. Notice, I'm just going to pull out the thoughts of Scripture. For it is God which worketh in you to both. Now, I have both in a square in my Bible. Two things that God works in you to do. And I love this thought. Notice, number one, to will. To want to do something. And to do. of his good pleasure. So God working in you to work out your salvation so that you want to do the things that please the Lord. And number two, you not only want to, you do it. And you'll notice he says in this word, it is God which worketh. That's the word energeo. We get our English word energized from it. So God is energizing you to want to do right. But he's also energizing you to do it. So there's a lot of people who say, well, I want to do what's right, but they don't do right. But I want to. And they think that sort of makes up for it. They're weak of backbone. And then there are others that say, well, I did what was right. I don't like it, but I did it. I did what my mama said, but I'd rather do something else. But when God works in your heart, you do what is right because you want to. And that makes all the difference. How many of you have ever heard me preach a whole sermon on tithing? Because we need a bigger building. We need a nicer building. 35 years, I've never preached one sermon on tithing. Now, as I go through Malachi, I preach on it. As I go through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, I'll preach on it. It's a very scriptural principle. But money so affected my home. And money can so affect people that if I were to preach on Sunday morning on a tithing message, which would be nothing wrong with that, there's bound to be visitors that come and say, all they're interested in is money. Look at their building. We didn't ask for one extra dime for this building. You want to know why? Because God works in us. If you let him. Now, follow this. Is he struggling with a limited set of finances like we do? Not at all. So I could say, look, I need everybody to give. We've got some debts we got to pay. I mean, you know, if we're going to get in this gym building, I need people to give. Let me. So I'm pushing you to do. I don't want you to come to church if it's not in your heart. Because to will is what God is looking for. Now, I want you to come to church and learn to like it. But the principle of Scripture is God says, I'll work in you to want to do it. But I'll tell you what, it's a joy to want to get up in the morning and read your Bible and talk with the Lord and spend time with the Lord. So I want you to do that. The Holy Spirit will energize you to do that. He'll work in you. I want to give because I want to be good to the Lord. And so then I give. And so the want to is there. And God says, oh, I can bless that. I want to love my wife. Oh, I can do it. Oh, I can say I love you. But if the want to is not there, it's not as sweet. Lord, I love you. But remember, love, if you read in Scripture, 1 John, we're going on Wednesday night, is that you obey his word, that you keep his commandments. And that first and great commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart. So everything that you do is because you love him. Everything you do in the Christian life, I want you to want to do it. And the Lord says, I'll help you have the will. And folks, that's without price. To get up, I want to go to church. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray for people. I want to be good to people. I want other people to be more important than me. Lord, I want to do it to please you. And then if I can turn around and look back at the end of the week and say, I did pretty well what's right this week. That's what the Lord says. I'm energizing you to want to do what's right and to do it, to follow through. What a great privilege to be a Christian like that. That's the real one, inside out. Notice the order. For God, it's God which worketh in you to do and to want to do. Which one's most important? To will to do. That's first. I want you to love your wife. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So, okay, I'll do it. Duty does not include the will. It includes the do. Duty is, okay, I did it. The will, I wanted to do it. Now, I could say tonight, all of you men need to tell your wife you love them once a day. You all ought to kiss your wives once a day. Wives, you ought to, once a week, you ought to prepare a meal. Now, that doesn't mean that you enjoy doing it. But I'm going to tell you this, it's not sweet unless you want to do it. And that's what he's saying here. I'll energize you to want to do it. What is that worth to you? I know that's everything to me. I was talking to somebody this week about work. They're not in this room. And I said, do you like to get up and go to work? He said, I don't go to work. So you don't go to work? He said, no, I haven't worked in my new job. I haven't worked at all. I get to go and have a good time. I enjoy what I'm doing. It's not work. I said, wow. Now, you know what? I get up in the mornings, and once I get my body cranked up and get everything going right, then I love to come to church. I can hardly wait to get here. I look forward to it. Now, the process of getting to that point takes a little physical effort. And so I really haven't done a lot of work. I've done a lot of serving in my heart, and I hope that I have that heart spirit that I get to serve the Lord because I want to. And notice, if you would, he says, so, verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Don't complain about what you get to do. Look, if you want to do it, most of the times you're not going to complain about it. You're not going to gripe and complain about something you want to do. I'm sitting down, I'm watching the Final Four, and I'm watching basketball, and I'm watching this guy make a block, and that guy. I don't get up and say, man, this is miserable. I don't want to do this because I'm enjoying it. And so if you enjoy something, you don't complain about it. Notice what he says here. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless. So the idea, there's a purpose in it that you can be a light. Look, the Lord, let me say this right. The Lord wants you to serve him, but he wants you to serve him because you delight in it. The steps, Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he does everything he's told. What does it say? He delighteth in his way. That's worth more than gold. You get up, and I delight in my wife. I delight in my husband. I delight in my children. I delight in my job. That is what God is energizing everybody in this room to do. What a privilege. Nobody else gets that, only Christians. That's why when I talk to some people, I say, hey, how's the job? Are you working hard? Hardly working. How many ever heard that? Okay? I'm not. Now, the negative parts of my job is sometimes I have to work with some seedy characters, you know? I mean, I come in and I see Scott or Brandon or Lance or whatever. But, you know, truth be told, I enjoy coming to church. And that's not because Dave Pittman's a good guy. It's because the Lord is hopefully energizing me to come do what he wants me to do. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. This whole passage is about the sons of God. the children of God. So how is it that verse 12 can be work out your own salvation, work to heaven, work to get to heaven? That's not what he's saying at all. He addressed it to Christians. He addressed it to my beloved. And then he says down in verse number 15, the sons of God. It's obvious he doesn't want you to work your way to heaven because you're already a child of God. So notice what he's trying to get us to do. Notice this, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Everybody in this room is in that position. We're in the midst of a corrupt and wicked nation. So what do? Notice the next phrases. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Young people in the Christian school, shine. Lord, use me to shine. How do you shine? How do you come to church and shine? How does that happen? How do you go to work and shine? Well, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And you'll see it very clearly. Notice what he says. Now, this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the greatest sermon ever preached. So you'll notice he says this, verse 13, you're the salt of the earth. What is salt good for? It's a preservative. It helps protect things. You're the salt of the earth. Look in verse number 14. You're the light of the world. What is that good for? To show people the way. So notice what he says. Ye are the light of the world. And in our passage of Philippians chapter 2, he says, look, he said, you're lights among a wicked and corrupt world. So shine. So what's he saying? You're the light of the world. Okay, Lord, how can I be a light? Well, watch what he says. Verse number 14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Why? It's not for that purpose. You don't light a candle and put it underneath something. You light a candle so it gives light. And that's what God is energizing everybody in this room to do. He's energizing you to want to do what's right, to do what's right, to be a light. And notice what he says, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What he's trying to say in Philippians chapter 2 is that the world is dark and you're light. So I want you to give off light to everybody that sees you. So I don't want to be able to point their finger at you and say, I heard you curse the other day. I saw you have a bad attitude the other day. You see, the Lord is energizing us to want to do what's right and to do it so the world can see verse 15, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Now what? What's the light? That they may see your good works. So the things that you do what is right, the things you do that you ought to do, some people at work ought to help the team accomplish a goal. Some people at work ought to lead the team to accomplish the goal. But every Christian should do it with such joy and excitement and interest and helping others to succeed and putting others first that everybody says, well, I love working with him. I love working with her. I love living with her. Why? Because her light's always shining. So, moms and dads, when you get up in the morning and you get up on the wrong side of the bed, get back in bed and roll off the other side so that your light can be shining. You see, the Lord's energizing you to do that. That's his purpose. But notice what he says. Why? Oh, he wants you to be a light to everybody. For what purpose? Oh, Dave Pittman's a good guy. Oh, Nathan Gardner, he's a good guy. Oh, Temple Baptist Church, that's a good church. They're full of good people. Is that what that says? Look at the next phrase. and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to do it for his sake. You see, everything you do is, Lord, for your sake, for your glory. And what we do by doing things for him, he turns it around and says, wow, those people at Timber Baptist Church are wonderful people. That family, the Pittman family, that's a wonderful family. Wow, I'd like to have a home like that. You know what? God exalts you. And then all of a sudden, the reason why this mind of Christ is so important is you won't take the credit. You say, oh, that's not me. That's the Lord. You deflect the praise upward. How does a church like us get $40 million? Anybody here gave a million? The Lord says, and I have no idea why, I'm going to bless you. All I can say is, Lord, thank you. All we can say is, Lord, thank you. This is a gift from you. So when you're grateful for something, you take care of it. You give him the glory for it. You use it for his glory. And that's what he's doing. So we have a great responsibility to say, Lord, not us. Did you know the tithes and offerings of Temple Baptist Church don't equal to this? Can't make it work. But God is the best accountant I've ever known. He can take nothing and make it something. And he does that every day with people. He can take nothing and make it into something. And I don't know about you, but I want to volunteer because I'm pretty close to nothing. And if he could use me, oh, that gives me worth and value. That causes me to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I'm here. That's what he wants for all of us. And if I can get you young people, I remember going to camp at the Bill Rice Ranch. I remember that. And part of the reason we go there is because it's done so much for me. I remember going there with no sides on the building. I remember going there with no air conditioning. Can you imagine that? And you know what? I didn't even know they made air conditioning on buses. I remember rolling the windows down, having the windows down and going at, you know, at 800 miles an hour trying to get the wind to blow through. I can remember going to camp and taking cold showers. Wow. I mean, it didn't take long to take a shower because I didn't want too much water to hit me. I wanted to just get in there and get out so that I could catch my breath. That was camp. But I remember in the end of the service, the Lord touched my heart and said, Dave Pittman, I'm looking for nobody. Lord, I'm pretty close to nobody. I'm a plumber's kid. Nobody in my family's graduated from college. We're nobodies. But Lord, if you could use us, God's got a sense of humor. Why did he call a plumber's kid to D.C. to work with people here? The highest educational level in the world. You know what? Sometimes it's not what you have done. It's what he will do. All of us have to say, Lord, I want to. Will you help me? I want to be the best husband in all the world. Will you help me? I'll energize you. I want to be the best wife. I'll energize you. Lord, I want to be the best I can be for you. And you know, what I want everybody here to understand is Joseph is not in competition with Nathan. Nathan's not in competition with Chase. Rich is not in competition with William. It's me against my own flesh. And you know what the goal is? Use me. That's what God's looking for. And he could do great things with us. I want you to listen to this, and I'll close. How many people did Jesus Christ work with and he reached the entire known world? How many did he start with? 12. And one of them was a traitor and hung himself. So you know what? If he could reach the world with 11, we got more than that. Hey, let's do our part. Let's take on more missionaries. Let's some of our young people, y'all go to the mission field. Let us send you. All of us in this room can be used of the Lord. Everybody here can pray, but you got to say, Lord, energize me. But he won't touch you without the mind of Christ. Today, do you have the mind of Christ? Let's bow our heads forward in prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn for us. Maybe you struggle this week. Maybe you had a hard time this week. Maybe you got angry at somebody this week or bitter. Maybe you were disappointed because somebody didn't notice you this week. You don't have the mind of Christ, or you didn't have this week. And you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I want to tell the Lord again, energize me. I want to be used. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. That's a starting point. Come down to the front and I'll help you. Lord Jesus, would you see the hearts of the people of Temple Baptist Church? And dear Lord, would you help us to have your mind? Lord, I don't know if any of us could have your mind to the point of willing to die for the whole world. We couldn't do that, I don't think. But Lord Jesus, we could have the mindset of, Lord, if you use me, I surrender. Would you speak to hearts tonight? In your precious name we pray. Amen.